There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode 50.
What? Why do you jump straight in? You're meant to ease it in. You're meant to. You know, 50, let the water flow before you say anything.
57 or 50?
Hey,
58.
Hey, by the way, I got a really interesting fact for you guys.
Go on then.
Do you know why? Do you know why Esso is called Esso, the petrol station?
No.
Well, basically, back in the day, they used to write. So some guy owned something called Standard Oil, and he told his little minion to write Esso. For Standard Oil on the barrel, and he went away and wrote ESSO, thinking that's how you spelled Esso.
That is a good fact.
Yeah. You want another one?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well,
sure.
I got loads. Do you know why Up to Scratch is called Up to Scratch?
Well, why? Something to do with golf?
Nah, you're wrong.
I said to someone else, I want to go and paint a sign, and it has to be Up to Scratch.
Nah, you're way off. You are...
Not the same guy inventing all these phrases himself by mistake.
You are way off. Oh. So basically, what the guy did is when you used to box back in the day, you used to draw a line on the ground, and the line was called Scratch. And you used to box with your feet on the line. And if you got knocked over, you would then be... The way to start fight again would be you have to get back up to scratch.
Ah, okay. Ah.
You want another one? You want another one?
Is this the show?
Yeah.
You want another one?
Yeah, our podcast is called You Want Another One?
Yeah.
Go on then. Okay, give us another one.
Okay, I'll give you one more because it's a really good one. Do you know why James Bond has a martini shaken, not stirred?
No.
Okay, so basically a stirred. And to our listeners, don't write in saying this is wrong because you're ruining a good story. So just leave it.
Are any of these right?
Yeah, they're all right. Every single one of them. They have a martini shaken, not stirred, because when you have a stirred martini, the ice and the water and all the alcohol within it mix together. So they're all mixed. When you have a shaken martini, the water and the alcohol separate. The water sits on top. So he's only just drinking water, not getting drunk. Ian Fleming, you genius.
Wow.
Yeah.
Clever.
You want another one? Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate sort of details of our lives. Join me, as always, is Francis Bull. Hello, Francis.
Bonjour.
And also, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we should probably announce it right now. We have someone else in the room. And Francis, it is, you are one of his biggest fans. If we're going to make you bashful and,
lovely.
And a little bit embarrassed, why don't you introduce?
Ladies and gentlemen, listeners of Private Parts Podcast, James Acaster.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He's got a brilliantly funny special on Netflix called Repertoire, which is the accumulation of 4 years.
Maybe even longer than that.
Yeah.
But years and years of going to the Edinburgh Festival and touring shows and
I have to say it is actually the funniest special I've seen on Netflix.
Thank you very much. Official?
It is. For me, anyway.
Look at these. He's so blushing.
So,
so like, lovely.
Wait,
so,
Francis, I don't know. This is what Francis does when he flirts.
Well, no,
it's
no,
really weird.
Yeah.
He sort of gets all like,
I like it.
God, yeah. I like your Netflix.
Yeah, that doesn't happen very often. But James and I met actually 3 years ago.
I think longer than that, actually.
Years?
I think quite a long time ago, because it was like maybe, 5 years ago or so, 6 years ago.
It was a long time ago, and we were doing this pilot for this show for Channel 4, and we the rest is history.
Yeah, I think we were on a team together and probably didn't know who each other was. Or
I didn't know any of James's comedy, but then after I met you and after we filmed that thing, I went onto YouTube and looked at all of your... and you very quickly became one of my favourite comedians. So.
Yes, that's how I get my fan base.
I get on
run-throughs with them and pilots with them.
Francis, you just thought James was quite cute, so you went and checked him out on YouTube. You're like, oh, I can check this guy out. Is that what you did?
I was like, who is this guy? He must have some good stuff.
Yeah,
James, this is the funny thing. So you said that you were doing Edinburgh for ages, right? And I heard that you are called the Leonardo DiCaprio of Edinburgh.
Yeah, and not for the reasons that the listeners can't see me. So, like, who is this hunk that they've got on the show? But
but why is that? Why are you called
it? Because he got nominated for Best Actor at the Oscars a lot and didn't win. And I got nominated for the Best Show at the Edinburgh Fringe and didn't
win. Oh, really?
But you got nominated six times.
Five times.
Wow.
Not six times?
No, not six.
Well, whoever wrote this down on this piece of paper is wrong.
Felt like six. So that's fair enough.
So wait, was that consecutive years? 5 years?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and that's what these shows are on Netflix. It's three of the shows that got nominated, and the fourth show is a compilation of the other two shows that got nominated. So it's like, it's all...
Fucking hell,
shows.
Being nominated five times. Yeah. Are you at the end of you literally like, well, what the fuck? What's going on? Are you not like, come on?
No, well, you never expect to get nominated even once. And so every time it happens, it's just really nice and fun. And you just kind of, you don't think that you're ever going to be nominated for that award. And so each time it happened, yeah, great.
Well, this is the thing that we need to ask your advice on, because speaking of Edinburgh and speaking of touring.
Yes.
You are gonna jump out of your seat when you.
We're going on tour.
Yeah, we're going.
Oh man!
Oh, watch out!
Yeah.
Watch out!
Well, I'm glad I'm not on tour this year, because I'll be playing in some empty rooms. That's for sure.
Too kind.
So, ladies and gentlemen, to all of our podcasts, hey, listeners, we are going on tour. Private Parts is going on tour.
Private Parts Live.
Yeah, at 10 a.m. today, which is a Friday. It depends if you're listening to this on a Saturday or Sunday or Monday, and it was the Friday that's just passed. But
just get to the point.
Okay, tickets are on sale. Boom. All you have to do is go to our website, www.privatepartspodcast.com. That is what, Francis?
That's the website.
Yeah, but what is it? WW what?
You don't even need to do the www. Dot. And actually, it's quicker to say worldwideweb.com.
Okay, well, fine.
Not dot .com.
Oh, well, yes.
Yeah, so it's private
parts. Worldwideweb.privateparts.com.
No, www. You're confusing everyone now.
Oh, I just go word. Just let me do a really word.
Word.privateparts.com.
Anyway, they are selling like hot cakes. So go onto the website and click them and get them.
Get them while they last, these hot cakes that are our tickets.
Oh, because they are tasty.
Yeah, but then by the time they go and see you, the cakes would cool down a bit.
Yeah,
yeah, because otherwise they'll be too hot.
Yeah,
after the reviews at Edinburgh.
And everyone will be going, hot, in the audience.
Yeah,
they are just that hot.
People burning their mouths on those hot cakes.
But we're going on tour, so we are starting in Edinburgh, so we're doing, which we want to actually ask your opinion on, then we're going to Stamford, Lincoln, Leeds, Southport, Birmingham, Swindon, Newbury, Bristol, Bridgewater, Southampton, Hertford, Liverpool, Lancaster, Preston, Sale, Cheltenham, Corby and Clapham!
And actually, it's a bit of a milestone for Jamie and I in another way, in that we are both...
Turning 21.
We're both turning 21 on the tour.
I'm going to be
turning 21 in Hertford,
and I'm going to be turning 21 in Corby.
So these
Corby, it's so funny. You guys are going to be playing in Corby.
What? Really?
So I grew up next to Corby
In Kettering Town.
In Kettering, and let me tell you. You guys are not going to blend in.
Really?
Yeah, I would be really interested to know who comes to that show.
Well, you can come if you're in the area.
Yeah, sure, if I'm nearby, I'd absolutely come. I'd love to see it. And I'd, Like, it'll be interesting. They've got a reputation in Corby on tours by comics of just being very, very difficult.
Really?
Serious?
Yeah, and so it'd be interesting to see how they react to you guys.
Well, this is okay, fine. Here we go.
Proud working class. They will fucking hate you.
Hang on a minute. We are.
So they'll buy tickets just to hate on us.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Well, we are properly proud.
Yes.
Working class people as well.
Oh, so, good.
So we are ready for you, Corby. But this is the thing I was going to ask. So what is harder, doing something like Edinburgh or doing something like Corby?
It's different. I really enjoy doing Corby because it's like I grew up near there and I can have a laugh with them and stuff like that. Touring can be hard because you're travelling around all the time, you're getting a bit tired and, you know, you're kind of doing the same thing every day. And then Edinburgh can be hard because you're not only doing the same thing every night, but also you're getting reviewed. There's talk of awards. There's people there's that friendly competition that comics have, but it kind of just turns a little bit more serious and that's not what you got in the comedy for.
Like I, Tonya.
Exactly like I, Tonya. I smashed a lot of people's knees in before shows in order to try and win that award. And I mean, because I've never won it, I feel really bad about it now. Yeah, it was all a waste.
But wait, but Edinburgh is like exhausting there, because how many days do you do Edinburgh for? Like a week?
So it's the month.
So you do the whole month?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, we're doing 3 days.
3 days? What venue are you in?
Well, get ready for this.
Underbelly.
Yeah, great.
In the Underbelly.
Yeah. There's a few different rooms there. And they own a lot of
probably not
venues.
The main room.
Yeah, we're in the main room of the
Underbelly. We're only there for 3 days.
We are in the main room, actually.
Yeah.
3 days. Okay,
That makes sense.
It's a start, right? Come on, we've got to start somewhere.
So, so you're starting so you're going to be at the Edinburgh Festival for 3 days in the Big Cow.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. In Bristow Square.
The big one. Okay, so just, I mean, that'll be fine. You'll have fun. If you do get reviewed, you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah,
in a great way.
Yeah, absolutely. And comics.
In the
daytime, comics probably won't be very friendly to you. They won't respect you in any way.
Do you know why? Because they are scared.
They're probably scared and intimidated by you, but they will make hours because they don't rate you at all as performers. And so that'll be what they make out. But if you guys go out in the evening, you're going to be the people that comedians want to hang out with, because they're going to want to be getting drunk with people who aren't comics, but who like are going to be fun and who are also performing at the Fringe.
Do you know what, James? That's the interesting. And this is the barrier that we got across. Is that I suppose we are putting ourselves out there to be funny, and we have no experience in it. People have been doing this for 10, 20, 30 years, and so for us just to come in there is too, I suppose. A reality stars type thing, or two people who've been on television. I hate that word, reality. Jesus.
God, you love it.
I hate it.
100% what you are, James.
Nah. No, I'm not. I am an entrepreneur.
Yes.
That's nice. What I'm known for, being an entrepreneur. But it is true. And so that's the kind of stigma we're going to have to cross over. Yeah. But we are fully prepared for that. And also, we completely know that...
We're not just prepared, we're expecting it.
Yeah. Well, you say you're prepared for it. Before we started recording, you said you literally don't know what the show is that you're about to take on tour. So, I mean, that's probably the main reason why comics would not...
Yeah, but you've got to also realise that the best business plan is no business plan.
Yeah, okay. I mean, when you say it like that, it sounds true, doesn't it?
But it's not true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so...
comedy is good comedy. Yeah.
So this is interesting. So when you did your first ever sort of gig, and so you must have started in Edinburgh, right? As everyone starts where
well,
your first
I started, my first gig was in Kettering, where I'm from, and then I started gigging in London. And then about 6 months in, I went to the Edinburgh Festival for the first time.
Really?
And I camped there for 2 weeks in a field, and it rained every single day. And my tent flooded
where
on the first night.
Which field?
It was a 15 minute bus journey outside of the festival.
Oh, wow.
It was because I hadn't planned on going. So, like the week before, I decided I was going to go.
Everything gets booked up.
So everything gets booked. All the accommodation gets booked up.
So, just quickly, no business plan is a good business plan.
It's horrific those 2 weeks, but like, yeah, it worked out in the long run. But I got a National Express coach up, and that took like 12 hours because it went around like loads of different places. And then I camped for 2 weeks, and I didn't have any gigs booked in, and I was just going around getting myself on bills And that was the first time I went to Edinburgh, was like doing that.
And do you remember your first ever
laugh?
In my life, boy, in comedy.
Do you remember your first ever review? Do you remember your first ever review, what it was like?
Yeah, I got like a short review from a website called Chortle, and it just said I was affable. But in a nice, they were portraying it in a nice way, but I remember seeing that word and being like, I never want to be described as affable ever again. So affable. Like, it was
sure, they didn't miss an L.
Laughable. Very nice. That's, do you know what?
Do you know that?
I think you guys are going to be fine on this tour.
Oh, we've turned you already.
Yeah. No prep on that joke.
I'd written that before. Actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fair enough. You've always been looking for an excuse.
But James, this is interesting because you have a certain style of like comedy, right? You do. You have this certain style. It's kind of it's.
How would you describe it?
I don't know. I've always had low key whimsy, and then people really pick me up on it. But like deadpan whimsy or whatever. Yeah.
But how do you kind of find that style? Because you know, with everything, if you're an artist, if you're like a painter, you have a certain style of painting.
Yeah.
And if you're a comedian, not everyone has a. I suppose sort of the big guys do have a certain style, but you have a very distinct style. You could sort of just hear you or hear your sort of like the room, and it almost could tell it's you. And how do you design that? How do you come into that, in a sense?
I think you've got to be in tune with yourself, and the more gigs you do, the more you kind of like register what works for you on stage, but also what you feel happy with. Sometimes something will work and you go, that's not me, I don't really want to be talking about that kind of stuff or whatever, and you have to be honest with yourself to take it out and not just keep it in just because it has laughs. You've not got to be this comic who's chasing laughs all the time, and
so it's a lot of introspection and like,
yeah, just trying to be like, this is what I would want to watch and this is what I think would work. Because I always think, like, you know, ticket prices, I never feel completely comfortable with them, and I want to put on a show that I think is worth that ticket price, and so trying to do something that is me. And I think that's why, like, a lot of the time, a lot of I know you don't like the term reality stars, but like a lot of the time, like, the reason why I think you guys are successful and appeal to people is because, without maybe even intentionally doing it, I don't know, you seem to know who you are, and you're just being that. You're already this kind of
people
fully,
find it authentic.
There's this fully formed persona there, and I think that's what a lot of the time in comedy, you kind of have to work quite hard to almost be yourself or be an exaggerated version of yourself.
And so, has that evolved? You know, and how has it evolved? You know, when you started, what kind of comedian were you? You know,
when I started, I came on. I thought you got to be nice to everyone. Everyone's got to like you, and so I came on like really,
I want everyone to
I'd
like
always
me.
Be like, even though I was
Jamie's in that
I was
place,
nervous. Yeah, but Jamie, I think, is genuinely like that, right? But me off stage,
so insecure.
Yeah,
just deeply, and it's real stuck within me. It's never going, that insecurity,
but it manifests itself in a positive way. You're insecure, but then in order to like deal with that, you're nice to everyone and all that, whereas my insecurities often manifest themselves in like pushing people away, not being horrible to them, and not some people, you know, they're insecure so they're like they slam people and they're horrible to everyone, they're a bully, but like with me, I kind of like withdraw and I go into myself a bit more and I don't like put myself out there very much. And so like when I did stand up I thought, oh, I've got to go out there and just be friendly to everyone, but they could tell it wasn't real. Yeah. They didn't buy any of it, the whole affable thing, and be like, hey guys, this gig is great, you guys are awesome, and all that. And they're like, you don't think we're awesome. And then,
they can see into your eyes.
They can tell. They can tell so easily. And like, and then I just started, you know, after a few years, maybe a couple of years, I started being like, actually, if I pull back more and leave bigger pauses and don't try and like make them like me, they actually... Yeah, are drawn to me a lot more, and it's nicer and it suits me.
So who would you say are your kind of your the comedians that you look to throughout
Just kind of look at Francis. Yeah. I've never seen him this interested. I
mean, yeah, really.
It's normally he's a bit like aloof. He's literally like, look, I just what? Let's tell me more about you.
Yeah, who would you say are your inspirations? Yeah. Your comedic inspirations.
Comedians I started watching when I first discovered comedy was like, I think Lee Evans was the first comic I saw. I saw him on a VHS. And the first stand-up comedian you see, especially when they're doing observational comedy, just blows your mind because you're like, how do they know this stuff about my life? Like how, I thought I was the only one who did this. And I think that's just mainly what comedy is and stuff like that, is just letting the audience know they're not alone and stuff like that. And then like Richard Pryor and his Live in Concert show is like, probably the best example of film stand-up ever, and I used to watch that all the time. But then the stand-ups that made me want to start doing stand-up were people like Josie Long and like Paul Foot,
Paul Foot's great.
Will Hodgson and people like that, who I just kind of I think until I saw them, I thought that you have to, stand-up comedy has to be observational, and you have to be this kind of comedian.
Yeah.
And then I saw them and realised you can talk about whatever you like, you can talk about anything, and you can do it in any way that you want, and that it was more like, you know, music or something, where a stand-up comedian is essentially like a band, and you got your own style and your own performance, and that's what people come to see, and that's what made me want to start doing stand-up.
But, you know, that's so funny, because you watching someone like Lee Evans at the beginning, right, this guy who's mad and hectic and sweaty and just jumping out, that probably makes you think, this is what I got to do in order to be... So, therefore, you replicate someone who you're actually not, because you feel like that's success, so therefore I got to copy that.
I guess in any, you know, art form, you almost feel inclined to, well, you imitate before you can innovate, right?
Yeah, I think the person I was imitating the most when I started was Ross Noble. It was more like, you know, I improvised a lot, but also like that kind of friendly, affable nature came from watching him and how I felt when I went to see him, and you know, and I wanting to be friends with the comic because they're so friendly. But like,
I just want to be friends with him.
But like, but then yesterday, literally at my gig yesterday, I was doing a new bit of material where I literally say to the audience, "I never want to be friends with any of you." Like that's how it's come now. Is that like, you know, 10 years later, I'm on stage doing a routine about how I never want to be friends with anyone in the audience, and I don't want them to want to be friends with me. I'm kind of really laying that
down. It's so funny because we had Reese James on the podcast, and I was saying, Reese, how do you get over the fact of nerves and things like that? He said, "Don't worry, I just look at them like cattle."
Yeah.
I see my audience purely as cattle.
I have more respect for them than he does, but fair enough. Reese is an awful man, and I can't believe you had him on this podcast.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But this is awful human being.
But this is the funny thing. So talking of Josie Long, right, and people like Josh Widdicombe, I've heard you've been in how many car crashes and train crashes?
So I've been in 3 car crashes the car's been written off, 1 train derailing with Josh, and then a train nearly derailed once after I'd been in a car crash. So I was
driving in the car?
Yeah, I was driving all 3 times. Yeah,
really?
And it got progressively more and more dramatic. And
were you driving the train as well?
They were like, "Do you know what? It's your birthday. Come and drive the train and don't derail it."
Oh, I won't.
Old habits die hard, guys. Sorry. And then, like,
can we go into because car crashes, train crashes are pretty freaking scary. So why don't you start the train crashes? What happened?
Well, the train kind of like the. So we discovered afterwards what happened was the wheels that hold the train onto the tracks just dropped out of the train and just fell.
Were you and the engineers?
I tightened all the screws before we set off. Good to go, boys. And they're like, But, like, yeah, they just dropped out. And so the train shifted off the tracks and onto the... Not onto the grass, but onto, yeah, where all this, those stones are, where there's loads of rocks on either side of the train tracks. So we went onto that, and so all these rocks... were like, so that's all they started just spraying out of the sides. And
you're in the actual sort of train, you're sitting by the window.
Sitting in the carriage, but on a table with Josh, and we're facing each other, and we just see, like, we think we've run over a branch, is what we thought had happened, because it was a bit of a shudder, and then this, like, debris spraying, and we thought, oh, we've just gone over, like, someone's left a branch.
Or a body, you're used to that with your car.
Yeah, that's the game, isn't it? Speed bump or body. But, like, saw the... And then these rocks started spraying more frequently and more of them. And then they started arcing over the train and smashing the windows. And, like, just... So the whole train was just being pummeled with rocks.
Where was this?
On the way from London to Leicester. We were going to the Leicester Comedy Festival. It was quite a big, significant moment in our careers, actually, because Josh was going to do a competition called the New Comedian of the Year, which is quite a big comedy competition, which he actually ended up getting there just in time to go on stage, and he won the competition.
Oh, really? You're just surrounded by winners.
Yeah, yeah. It's really rubbing it in my face. I absolutely hate it. Yeah, and we just derailed. And basically, it was like 5 minutes of this violent shaking, then it stopped, and then it was 5 hours of just waiting to be picked
but
up.
But that's
by a
terrifying.
Train.
It's like Armageddon. And also, you play it off pretty calmly, but going in something like that is.
Oh, yeah.
Because then every single time, I just imagine that you get in a vehicle, you're like, if you feel like.
It didn't flip over the train.
No, it didn't. We felt it was going to. There was a point where we were both holding this table with both hands and looking at each other. And it felt like this is about to tip, and if this I don't know what happens then.
Yeah.
And luckily it stopped. But like, yeah, it was just 5 hours. Also, 5 hours of being stationary, then eventually being brought onto a rescue train, which is such a grand
which floats.
A plane actually. We got on it, and they're saying, "Oh, the buffet carriage is free." And so that's nice. And I remember
every
seeing
cloud.
A man. Yeah, exactly. Well, this man went up and he got a free can of Stella. And the saddest thing, probably one of the bleakest things I've ever seen, is that he turned round and his wife was at the other end of the carriage. And he turned round and he held up the can of Stella and he pointed at it and just did this mini celebration. And it was like, mate, we've been stationary for five. Everyone's day's ruined.
Was he from, like, Corby?
Yeah, he probably was. He's like, I can't wait to tell the boys about this. Can't wait to throw this at some reality TV stars when I get home.
But I mean, that is like a really sort of significant moment, as you said. But then, like, I suppose then being in a car crash, which was scarier, being in a car crash or being in the train?
I think the car crash was, especially like the one when I was on my own in the car was the one I was most scared about afterwards, because only I could have been hurt. And so the other two, I had passengers in the car and hit other people, and no one was injured, no one was hurt, and I was just relieved.
So it's this
overwhelming feeling of relief. Whereas the first one, when it was just me, I was really scared afterwards.
Really?
And like, yeah.
But you had just passed your test, hadn't you?
Eight days after passing my test, and I went round some back roads, skidded on some mud, pinballed against a hedge in the ground for a while, and then stopped. And then I say no one else was involved. I then tried to pull away.
We'll do a hit and run.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, can't not hit anyone in this crash. But like, at that point, I kind of like pulled out into the, because I was in denial about it. I was like, I've got to go home. And so I managed to panic about going home. Yeah, yeah. This hasn't happened. It's probably not that bad. I won't get out and look at it. And I started it up again, which it started miraculously. And then I went into the road, and then it just stopped again and stalled. And then it wouldn't. I was trying to start it. Nothing was happening. The lights were all off. I couldn't turn the lights back on. Nothing was working. And then I looked up. It was at night, and I saw these headlights coming really fast towards me. And it's like a single. It's a back road of a country, so you can't overtake. I saw them coming. And then I looked in the rearview mirror, and there's another car coming just as fast. And I was like, okay, like, I'm just a sitting duck. I don't know what to do. And then they both...
And there's no lights on your car.
No lights on the car. I'm just a dark... I'm just not even there as far as they're concerned.
Oh, my God.
And then they both saw me at the last minute because their headlights hit me. And they both overtook me, but they both overtook me on the same side and hit each other and went into a ditch. And... So I'm just sitting there in the car, like, I don't really want to get out and see what's happening. I mean, luckily they both climbed out the ditch and one guy bollocked me and the other lady. You know, I kept apologising and this other lady says, don't apologise. Stop apologising to him. But like,
was this when you were being affable?
Yeah, I was trying to be affable, as affable as possible. Trying that persona out. Nowadays, I tell them to go fuck yourself and push him back in the ditch. But, you know, back then...
Well, it's working, nice. So...
Yeah, it would have worked for me. He'd have been like, I like this guy.
He's authentic.
Yeah, not trying to be liked.
But I swear to God, I've never been... France, have you ever been in a car crash or anything like that?
I've been in a car crash. Actually, I was being picked up from school for Easter holidays. And it was a school run. The person who was picking me up was in a convertible. So
who's the person picking you up from school?
My friend's mum. So... Yeah. So anyway, we were leaving the school, and it came out onto this main road. And as we were coming out, this car came careering to the back corner, and we skidded up onto our side and then slammed back down.
Yeah.
But actually, if we'd flipped in a convertible, it would have been.
And hey, I'm not gonna lie, I was trying my best to flip you. But it's my signature.
But then, so James, are you not now? You probably don't get in a car and drive it that often, do you?
I don't drive anymore. After the third one.
I mean, I can't believe. Can we just put this out? I'm never fucking going near a plane with you. I'm just not going.
Everyone survives, mate.
You're just traumatised forever.
If you're going to be in a crash at some point in your life, you want me there.
And I love the fact that even though if you're not with someone in the car, you still get other people involved in it. Anyway,
They're all there. Somehow I've roped people in. The last one, a guy went into a ditch. So like on the final one, there was these cars that kind of like, one of them went into a ditch because of me. And afterwards, I was talking to the police, and this guy, he was being helped out of the ditch, out of his car, and then he was given a Zimmer frame, and then he's walking on that. And I was like, oh, my God. And then the police officer I was speaking to went, don't worry, he was like that before. He was like that before. What a phrase. But, like, it was reassuring to know, okay, sure.
Oh, God. Okay, right. James, also what we like to do in our podcast is we do something called Question of the Week, where basically Francis asks us a question, we try and guess what the answer is, and we get the answer in part two. Normally we get it wrong because they're very random. So, Francis, let us have the Question of the Week.
How many of the planets that we know about?
Well, I can do it. I can do all of them. Sun. Jupiter,
no, already.
That's not the question.
Well, I can do all
how
of
many
them.
Of the planets?
You said sun.
How many of the planets can fit between the Earth and the Moon?
Oh, sorry.
What? How many of the planets can fit between the Earth and the Moon?
Well, hold on a second. Do you mean
in the space between them?
How many planets could you get between the Earth and the Moon, or how many of the individual planets could fit between the Earth and the Moon?
No. Or how many could you get between?
How many could you get?
Well, that's easy. This is the easiest. Shall I go through what you could fit?
Yeah, go on then.
Neptune, 100%. Pluto, it's two.
Is that count still as a planet?
It
still counts.
Well, I guess Pluto, yeah.
It was written off, but like...
I'm in a room for the bunch of nerds.
Yes,
count?
Thank you very much.
Pluto, Neptune. You could
bunch of nerds. Yeah, my SI. Do you want another one?
Pluto, Neptune.
Venus. You can't even name all the planets.
Yeah, I can. Venus. That's it.
That would be all the ones.
That's
you
all.
Fit.
You can get three.
Okay.
So
you're saying three.
I'm saying three. Yeah.
Three sounds like quite, I guess. Let's see.
Name the others.
Name the other ones.
Yeah.
Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn.
Obviously.
Uranus.
Of course.
My favorite.
Yeah. I know, because I've gone the other way now. Mars.
Yep.
You said Venus already, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, missing an obvious one.
Earth.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
I didn't think we had to mention that one, but like, that's fine.
See, I forgot that one.
Yeah. Are we counting Earth in this
Yeah,
one?
We are counting Earth, yeah. So because Earth that is actually, obviously, the one, that's the bookend, right?
Okay, well, then I say four, because Earth counts as one.
All right, well, you can say four as well.
Bookend. I'm going to say...
It's thrilling, isn't it?
I want to say one or two.
One or two.
Well, which two would you fit in there?
If we're counting Pluto, I'd go for Pluto. And
I love this.
Neptune's another small one, isn't it?
All right. Well, I will tell you the answer to that question in part two.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as always, we also have Francis and mine, Dari.
And mine.
Yeah, Francis and mine, my... My English, well, yeah. Get ready for that on tour.
Sometimes,
yeah. Corby won't mind.
Yeah.
That'll endear you to them, if anything. So,
so we read our diaries out, and you can comment, you can say anything you want. It's just basically what I've been up to during this week because I know that you'll be thoroughly interested.
Yes.
Wednesday. So, what you may or may not know, I am a multi-talented person. Now, I don't like to brag, but I still hold the javelin record for under 10s at my prep school. Showcasing the talent that you see before you. I can actually show you.
Who are you writing this to before we carry on? Because like when people do their diary, they say dear diary, or they're writing it just about what's happened. When you say what you may or may not know, who's that to?
Just my alter ego, just to my older self.
To his diary.
Yeah, no, to the diary. Yeah. You might not know that about him.
No, it's to my older self. When I look back at my diary and I just go, God, I was talented.
Oh,
how would you not know that then?
Oh, because I've been in a car crash in games. Yeah, that's why I've lost all my memory.
So now these diaries are all you've got to go on.
34 meters and still not being broken. In fact, it's the longest held record at my school to date. So yeah, true, I got the picture. So it therefore might not shock you that I have a radio show for Heat Radio, which I do every week.
Okay, so are you just plugging the things that
you're... just telling you. My producer and I sit in a booth and record a weekly show that airs on Saturdays and repeats on Sundays, just in case you wanted to hear more of my voice. There's been numerous famous people to enter the building. Ariana Grande, Ed Sheeran, Gareth Gates.
What, you didn't interview those?
No, I didn't, but they were just in the building.
I'm getting this sneaking suspicion this is actually written to the listener, isn't it, on this show? I mean, just in case you want to hear more of my voice, it's not to the diary or to your future self, is it?
Well, it is to my future self, so...
Yeah, just in case it wants to hear more of...
He wants to hear more of me.
Yeah.
Yes, you got amnesia.
And listen to Heat Radio.
I ran into my studio out of breath and slightly late, put the headphones on, and with a quick sorry for being late, I didn't really look up. My producer nudged me, and I looked up, and Boy George was standing in the next door studio. Oh. I love Boy George. As I was looking, he turned around, laughed, waved, got his camera out, and took a photo of me. Not only that, he came into my studio to say hi and say what a big fan of mine he was. Actually, I lie. He didn't really know my name and said he'd seen me on TV. Dreams do come true.
Boy George. I sat next to Boy George watching a comedy show once. He's a talker. Talks.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, couldn't turn to him and say, shut up, boy. But it was. He talks a lot. It's a chatter.
He does talk a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was he wearing his hat?
He was wearing his hat, actually.
That must have been also annoying for the people behind him as well.
Yeah, they were probably absolutely livid about it. He didn't care.
I suppose he doesn't, right? He's Boy George.
He's Boy George.
Boy George. He's Boy George.
Boy George.
Oh, boy.
Boy Jorge.
Boy George.
Friday. It was my friend stag do in Copenhagen. Once again, I'd done my usual where I say I'm going to come, but don't really know / want to come, and therefore book my flight last minute so it's the most expensive it can possibly be. Not only that, six people had bailed the day before, and the last person bailed would have had so many daggers in his back, it would have been frightening, which is so true. You can't be the last person to bail on anything ever. You have to be, like, the middle or the first.
You can't, you can't bail, like, close to the actual stag. Then you're, if it's, like, the day before or something.
What do you guys think of stags, be honest?
They're not great.
They're terrible.
But unless they put, like, I went on a really good one last year, but that's because, like, you know... It was put on for him by a mate who knows him really well and just thought about what this person actually genuinely likes and did that rather than going, well, it's a stag, so I guess for some reason we've now got to all become lads.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but like, do you know, actually, it's one of the leading causes of death for men in Britain is men going on stag dos.
That, comforting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'm glad to hear that.
But also, I think why should a stag make everyone feel dirty?
Yeah,
you know, coming out of it.
But also, you feel, it changes so right, you feel like you have to become something that you're not. You feel like, oh, let's drink and wear a bib and just like throw beer on a plane. I mean, and you don't want to do that. You feel incredibly awkward.
I went on a really lovely stag in Miami and we all went skydiving and fishing. It was actually epic.
Actually, that's very nice.
Actually, one of our producers, Pete, went on a stag, didn't you?
Yeah, I went to Lisbon.
He went to Lisbon. Yeah, he went to Lisbon.
Sounds nice.
How was it?
Painful.
Yeah. See, there we go. That's the reaction everyone gets.
Yeah.
It's just painful. Everyone comes home not mates and just no one likes each other and you're hungover. It's terrible.
Is that what happened on your...
Nah, I was only there for one night, as you'll find out. The problem was I had too many drinks the night before, so I woke with a gasp at 8:30 a.m. having slept through my alarm and missed my 8 a.m. flight. I quickly checked for new flights and booked the next 1 p.m. flight at £300 to Copenhagen, changed, sorted myself out, jumped into a cab and all the way to Gatwick. As we pulled into Gatwick, the driver asked what terminal. Horror struck. I checked my boarding pass and of course I was flying not from Gatwick but Heathrow.
This has happened to you quite a few times.
Happens to me a lot. You fly to the wrong place.
Well, I just go to the wrong place. I therefore had to book another flight leaving at 6 p.m. for £250 plus the taxi to Gatwick and then to Heathrow to board the next flight. Now, any normal person would have bailed, but because of the daggers, I refused to. Therefore, I flew to Copenhagen for about £1,000 to have dinner and return the next morning. This is why I hate stag days.
Give me a cheer, everyone in Corby who related to that. Yeah, we have to spend an extra £1,000 that you just got knocking around.
Right, ladies and
gentlemen. I'm such a dick, guys. So much money I'm spending all the time because of my own ditziness. How's it going, everyone? Everyone enjoying
it? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is the end of part two, but please stick around for part one. Say that again. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's the end of part one, but please stick around for part two.
People will be confused.
Oh, God, no, they're not going to be confused.
Yeah. Did I miss part one?
Stick around for part 10, where France is going to read his diary. We have the question of the week.
No, the answer to the question.
The answer to the question of the week, and we play a little game. See you in part
two.
Two. See you there.
Bye.
Tune in.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.